FW in Washington, and WBAI New York. I'm Chris Bangert Drowns. Thanks for listening.
Stay tuned for a special edition of Live on the Fly with Randy Credico here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. Stay tuned.
It's Julian Assange and WikiLeaks that have returned honor to journalism. Julian is a truth teller, and that's what has upset those who continue what Goebbels called the big lie.
Slow down, Sophia. Slow down. All right. I'm Randy Credico. This is Randy Credico Live on the Live. Good afternoon, everybody. Live on the Live. Yes. Live on the Live. Live on the Fly. I'm glad you're here, Reggie, not just because you do such a fabulous job engineering this show and taking all the complicated stuff that I send you 5 minutes before the show starts and you make magic out of it. Here on Live on the Fly on 99.5 FM, free speech. Radio, WBAI, WBAI.org, and please take down this number, 212-924. That's my number. You see, I am a little crazy. 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950, because we have a two-hour special today. My dear friend, the great producer, the great host of Flashpoints, Dennis Bernstein, will be joining us after I make a few announcements here. We have a great show today. Also, you know, he's the one, I first met Dennis way back in 1986. He and Robert Knight, the late Robert Knight, a dear friend of both of ours, had a show called Undercurrents right here on WBAI in New York City. So we're going to talk about that with Dennis. We're going to be ad-libbing our way through. This is a fundraising special today, but a lot of content in between. We have a wonderful package today, premium. It is the Kuntzler Assange special. Kuntzler Pilger special. The Kuntzler Pilger special. We have three DVDs. We're going to be playing parts of each one. One of them is Disturbing the Universe, the documentary by Emily and Sarah Kuntzler on their father, William Kuntzler, award-winning documentary. You've heard excerpts of it before. Today we're going to play some more of it. You're going to get that DVD, Disturbing the Universe. Then, of course, Kuntzler at Caroline's, which you cannot get. It's not on YouTube. It's nowhere else. Only WBAI has it. It was Bill Kuntzler's very last public appearance. It was at Caroline's with me, Irma Corey, and Terry Waldo. So we'll play a few excerpts of that. And then John Pilger, the documentary, and it's really relevant right now, The Coming War on China. We have some wonderful documentary cases of The Coming War, DVD cases on China from Bullfrog Films, the distributor of John's documentaries. We'll be having those three, Reggie, dig this, $100. That's it. $100. That's really? $100 donation. You really? Get Disturbing the Universe, you get Kuntzler at Caroline's, and the very relevant with a beautiful case. Beautiful liner notes and pictures of John Pilger, the greatest journalist of my lifetime, on the back of it. All right, so you get that. You're going to get that. All three of those for $100. It's called the Kuntzler Pilger special. So I'll be going down to D.C. I've been working on this mobile billboard truck for the last 2 weeks, and on Monday I'll be in D.C. It's going to be a 10-day, that's going to be a lot of fun for the Assange movement, and I got four or five different panels on it. And so I'm supposed to be going down there Monday unless everything falls through. I don't know. We'll know tomorrow. But that will be in D.C. According to the mobile truck, things are ready to roll. So I'm hoping we'll be there on Monday in D.C. All right, that's all said. That's it. All right, I want to say hello to all the listeners. Please write down that number, 212-209-2950, or go to give to the number two. Number two, WBAI.org. Okay? And it's very important right now. And today you're going to see why it is important. We got one of the greatest, my mentor in this business, Dennis Bernstein, joining us. Dennis taught me everything that I knew about, that I know. I knew, I lost it, but I got it back. Dennis Bernstein will be joining us right after this. And we're setting the tone for Kunstler. This is from Neil Young. It's Neil Young, Ohio. Joining us now, I'm Randy Credico. This is Randy Credico Live on the Fly. This is WBAI. And joining us from the West Coast, from Berkeley, my dear friend and a dear friend to this station and to Pacifica specifically, the great Dennis Bernstein. Dennis, thank you at the last moment, which was yesterday, for being part of today's two-hour special.
Be careful when you say, I get nervous when people start talking about the last moment. I'll get to that point.
Yeah.
It is great to be with you, Randy. And really, thanks for remembering our good brother, Robert Knight. People remember that Robert and I worked together. Really, broke a major part of the Iran-Contra scandal, particularly nailed the fact that the U.S. government and the CIA had got into bed with the cartels in order to illegally support a war against the Sandinista government. It's a major story. Tons of cocaine came into the U.S. secretly as a result of a secret agreement signed by Ronald Reagan in one part of the White House, while Nancy was saying, just say no, in the other side. So Reagan allowed all federal agents to deal with whoever, traffickers, whatever, turn a blind eye, as long as they could say it was a national security situation, because we had to fight the Nicaraguan Sandinistas, who, you know, Randy, were about to come over the southern border.
Right, right. As Barry Crimmins said, we did a tour down there of five comedians called U.S. Out Show in 88, but Barry Crimmins had a line, and I'll do it as Reagan. He said, just say no to drugs. Unless they're from the Contras, then just say C. That was Barry was great down there.
Yeah.
That was 88. And I remember, you know, I listened to you all the time, you and Robert Knight. And then Robert Knight went on to do, was involved in with Panama. I mean, he's done so much over the years. Robert Knight was, they should take all of, I don't know where the archives are, maybe his significant other has him, Paulette, but they certainly would make a great premium at this station or for Pacifica,
absolutely.
Because what a rich treasure of material Robert left behind, and what a great legacy.
And Robert won the George Polk Award for interviewing Manuel Noriega while he was still in hiding before he was captured by the U.S. government when they invaded Panama on the largest drug bust in human history, because poor Noriega mentioned that he's got Bush by the
cojones.
I don't know what
cojones.
Cojones.
Yeah, I guess that's not one of the seven words, right? I can say cojones. All right.
You can say cojones.
I got to get Roger Waters to learn that word.
Anyway, Robert was eloquent on that subject, and he was featured in the Emmy Award-winning film, The Panama Connection, if people want to know what Robert did on that story.
Robert was absolutely brilliant. You know, we're going to be talking today. I'm going to do – you and I are going to do a whole show on Robert Knight, all right? You and I are just going to do a whole show together dedicated to Robert Knight, because I got a lot of his clips when he hosted a program I did back in the 1994 with Bill Kunstler. Everybody was on it. Margie, just a bunch of impressionists and journalists all did a program called 60 Mimics, and we did one and two. And I have them here at the station. Maybe if I take a break here, I can pull out one that has Robert Knight in there. He was great as he was the anchor along with Margaret Kunstler. But we're going to talk about two great people today, Dennis, that you knew. William Kunstler, the greatest civil rights attorney in the last century, and the great living legend, John Pilger, who as you have said, he's in a league by himself. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, I just don't know anyone who has produced the amount of quality material for six decades now, 61 films, a number of books. His films are now archived at the British Library, and they're on his website. All 61 of them are on his website, including interviews, another 10 or 20 videos, interviews with Martha Gellhorn and a whole bunch of others. These interviews he did 20 or 30 years ago.
And what are they about, Randy? And what
significant stuff, real stuff. It started with Vietnam. And the last one was the National. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it starts in Vietnam. In which he demonstrates how the U.S. government, we talk about Watergate, that Trump's much worse than Watergate. But the part of Watergate that was never investigated was the secret wars that the U.S. conducted in Southeast Asia.
Right.
And Pilger was on the ground filming not only the shredding of the Vietnamese people, but the way in which it opened up to the Cambodian genocide, and
right.
It was never discussed. That was Watergate.
Yeah. He did three films on, I believe, three on Cambodia. Look, he did Nicaragua back in 83. He did the Mexicans back in this, that's still relevant today. The war you don't see. This great, the best interview I've ever seen with Julian Assange was this one that he won some big prize in Mexico. This great interview. It's on his website. You just go to johnpilger.com and you can see these relevant films and informative. People should do that. Don't watch the news. Don't watch any of it. Listen to Flashpoints and then have your children go to johnpilger.com, go to videos and watch them from the very beginning, Seriously, the war on democracy it's all about the U.S. trying to undermine Chavez and the history of U.S. undermining governments in Cuba and everywhere else in Latin America. And they're doing it again right now. They're doing it under the South Command is back in action. Southern Command, Southcom, whatever it's called, is back in action. They're looking at those rich countries there in the Amazon, the oil fields, and they want it all. They want it all. All right. So so we're going to play and I don't know. I don't have that first. I have something else first. We're going to talk about Pilger. We're going to play the coming war on China. Dennis, let me just ask you, because I really don't want to talk about her. I'm going to mention her name and then forget about her because she is completely out of her mind. Nancy Pelosi goes to Taiwan. It was what a, it's like a Mr. Magoo trip. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so I don't want to talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo goes to world. Mr. Magoo goes to World War III.
Yes, that's what Mr. Magoo did. And Waldo's not going to be able to bail him out.
No way. No way. And again, Pilcher's film is so prescient, the coming war against China. I mean, we've been talking about this. It's an insane moment because, of course, they're walking the line towards nuclear conflagration with Russia now in Ukraine. And so now here comes Nancy, and she's going to shake it up with China. And everybody knows that the United States has been plotting for decades through four or five presidents. They tend to refer to it as the pivot. How are we going to prevent the China century by creating a strategic wall around China by land, air, sea, and space? And that's the nature of U.S. policy for decades. We still haven't signed a peace treaty with Korea because we're at war with that region. And here comes Pilger nailing it.
Oh, this documentary. Is it lined up, or do I have it do the Kunstler one first? Should I just do it in order and come back to Pilger?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get back to the Pilger in the second half, Dennis.
Okay.
But I want to get back to. Okay. I just want to say this is Randy Critical, Randy Critical Live on the Fly. This is a special edition of Assange, not Assange Countdown to Freedom, but Live on the Fly. And by the way, the Assange Reader is still available as well. You get the great book by Nils Melzer called The Trial of Julian Assange, and the.
Tell him the phone number.
In defense of Julian Assange, I'm going to. And that package, it's called the Assange Reader, is $75. We still have books or books and Verso sent us more books because they've been going like hotcakes. That package, the Assange Reader, is $75. All right. And I'm going to send you a copy of that book by Nils Melzer today, Dennis. Because these premiums are going out fast. We have them. We have all the DVDs right here. I can see them. And that is the other one is the Kunstler Pilger special. And that is a $100 donation to WBAI. And you get that those three DVDs. And the number to call, Dennis, is 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. And you go to give2wbai.org. And today, Dennis, we have to raise. I got a $3,000 target here. So I want people, if they want to have this kind of programming, if they want this show to continue, if you like this show, I'm asking you to go to the phones before we continue and play this excerpt from Disturbing the Universe and Kunstler at Caroline's, that you go to the phones, make a pledge. You can just make an outright pledge. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Just make an outright pledge. Somebody pledge $1,000 today. Seriously. Dennis, I mean, people that listen to KPFA or KPFK or this station, WBAI, and they listen and they don't donate, but they have cable TV. What do you say about that?
I say it's probably 8 or 9 out of 10 people listening now haven't yet stepped forward to put their money where their beliefs are, to demonstrate that they understand the difference between corporate media, in which they sell the audience to different corporations so that they can hawk them with stuff that they don't need and could kill them. This is free speech radio. Randy, I think of it as the canary in the coal mine of corporate disinformation. Sort of an electronic leaflet or an invisible university of the airwaves where we hear some of the most extraordinary things and meet some of the most extraordinary people like John Pilger and Robert Knight and Randy Credico. And listen, here's the number, because people need to support this beautiful, scrappy alternative invention. It's 212-209-2950. Now, these are beautiful premiums you're offering, Randy, but the real premium is the open flow of information, the open flow of the truth. That's what we stand for. This network was invented 73 years ago by people who were willing to go to jail to resist war. We continue that mission if our producers, that's our listeners, stand up and give us the freedom. 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950.
We're gonna say that number a lot tonight. I want to hear the phones ringing today. 212-209-2950. The $100 donation will get you the three DVDs. They're all masterpieces. Well, the one is Concert at Caroline's. I don't know. It's a masterpiece. It's the concert. You've seen that Bill's last public performance. Was he not brilliant or what? Dennis.
Yes. I mean, it's amazing. Absolutely.
Have we got up there and you got a standing ovation at the end? We're going to play some of that. But also, Disturbing the Universe, I know you've seen that. This really is a masterpiece by Emily and Sarah Kunstler on their father. It covers his entire life. And then, of course, we've got the epic by John, one of his 61 epic films, and that is The Coming War on China, as you said, very prescient, that documentary. And it is very current right now. We're going to get to that later on, but I'm going to say it again, 212-209-2950. We need to hear the phones ring because we'd like to play a lot of content today and get a lot of commentary from Dennis on what's going on around the world. Dennis has a show 5 days. Here, this is one day a week for me, and I do one at another place, PRN, one day a week. But this is what we have, and it's great because I got an award. Thank you, Gary. That's really nice and flattered. But this is it. This station in New York, there's nothing like this station in New York or, you know, on the East Coast. I mean, there's five stations like this. And when they're gone, you imagine just, all right, I'm just going to turn it on. I'm going to turn my cable TV off that I pay $250 a month. I'm going to listen to WBAI. Then it's not there. Just say one day it's not there. Then you're stuck with Ari Melber, Jake Tapper, Jim Sciotto, Jim Acosta, Barbara Starr, ad nauseum. That's what you're going to be listening to if you want to watch something, because they can close everything down. They can close the internet down. Some of these videos you might be able to see on YouTube. You can't see the Pilzer one on YouTube. You can't see Disturbing the Universe on YouTube. And even if you could, they could close that down. What then? That's why you should get these videos right now, because you may not have access to them on the internet. You may not have access to them. They just say, well, we're going to have a war with China. Let's get rid of that thing. Make sure it doesn't exist on their Google search. Let's make sure, as we try Julian Assange, we don't want Kunstler talking about these show trials. Let's get rid of that. You don't know. Am I right? Dennis, we live in a very precarious situation right now.
Censorship, just ask Chris Hedges. Censorship now is at an all-time high. All of us are being hit. I mean, I can't tell you how many different ways we can feel this now. So we are, Alice Walker was just censored out of the Bay Area Book Fest. They tried to cancel the woman, Alice Walker, who uncanceled Zora Neale Hurston, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of The Color Purple. They censored her out of the San Francisco Book Fest because of her stand in support of the Palestinian people. Those are the kinds of things you're going to hear on WBAI and on Pacifica Radio. So we got a number.
What is it, Dennis?
It's 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. I want to say this too, Randy. I still have, let's put it this way, I still have the memory of the fingerprints of the hug that I got from William Kunstler when you were bringing him around after he wrote his book, and this was in the in the halls of KPFA.
Yes, I remember that day.
He was not only a beautiful, incredible, you know, visionary lawyer, but he was a poet and a humanitarian beyond belief. When you sat in that desk in the, you know, that used to be a stop on the Underground Railroad in Greenwich Village, and you sat in his office, which was essentially a desk and just enough room for a couch and to fit your knees in between the couch. It was small. You knew you were sitting on the couch where Martin Luther King sat.
Right.
Where,
who wrote the foreword to a few of his books. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. I remember that day vividly, Dennis, because I went there. It was during the book tour, My Life as a Radical Lawyer, and I went to 8 different cities with him, first to Chicago, then to San Francisco. And, he died later on that year. He wasn't feeling that well, but he – was making sure nobody bothered him. The JDL was like throwing eggs at the car at one in Los Angeles. And then in San Francisco, here I got sick. I got sick, exposed to the wind and everything. I got a temperature. I was in bed. He was taking care of me, getting me chicken soup from down in the kitchen and everything at the hotel. It's the greatest memory of my life, or one of the top ones. It was traveling with him on that book tour and then going into KPFA. Yeah. It was really, you talk about it was like going into Rick's joint and getting out of, downtown Casablanca. You get in a Rick's joint where there's a little safety. All right. Reggie Johnson is here with us. Reggie, your thoughts about how important it is for the station before we play the concert clip from Disturbing the Universe.
I'm going to be brief about this because the both of y'all just pretty much nailed it. It's extremely important for an institution like WBAI to continue to exist, especially during these times. Now, I feel very cliche when it says that this is more now than ever. It is important that this station exists, but it really does, because we're everything that you had just said before with the upcoming poking and prodding to create China into some kind of major war adversary, as well as the ongoing ridiculousness that's happening over in Ukraine, to the climate issues and also the police state that is just continues to fester, and which I always find ironic, because here the Nancy Pelosi's of the world will like to tout and beat their chests and talking about that they support democracy. What about the democracy of people of color? What about the ongoing touting, the ongoing fear of people, particularly people of color, and as well as people who are in the working class, poor class people, who have to endure the thumb of the police state because of whatever they do. She won't experience that, and people like her won't experience that.
Yeah,
but here at WBAI, we give voice to the voiceless and making sure that perspective is out there to let people know that it's out there. So when you hear them talk about democracy and I can't help but laugh and talking about the human rights and stuff like that, and when they want to kowtow and point at other countries, you know what? Clean up your house first before you go into going into this morality tour and stuff like that.
Right.
So,
she's got $100 million to spend. Maybe she'll get new pair of shoes and some earrings while she's there in the sun.
She has a vineyard as well too.
Right,
well, they both have a vineyard out there.
Poison wine coming
in Soma,
out of that one.
Yeah, I think it's in the Soma Valley. I think Dennis knows about that.
Well,
right?
Maybe she'll donate to the station. You know, just give us 1% of what you have, folks. I'm going to give you that number again. Thank you, Reggie. 212-209-2950. This is from the documentary. I believe this is going to be the Chicago. This is Chicago 7. You saw the movie. Forget about the movie. Watch the documentary on Netflix. Forget about the movie. This is
garbage.
Garbage. All right. This is
garbage
from Disturbing the Universe. Coming up.
Political decisions have been made upon their heads that whenever the people disagree with those political decisions, the racist power structure sends in guns and force to see that the people accept those
America watched as Chicago erupted when protesters converged on the Democratic National Convention in 1968.
The cops beat up the kids in Chicago. And more than half the nation figured they deserved it. We were a very angry nation.
I mean, we always wanted a confrontation, but we wanted not a physical confrontation, but a symbolic confrontation, you know, to present a different world, a different view of how life should be.
What it was really about is power, the power of the state to suppress dissent versus the power of social movements to stand up in the face of repression.
A year later, the government put eight activists on trial for conspiracy to incite a riot, and Dad became their lead counsel.
We felt like Bill was part of the movement. And what's more, since he knew that the defendants' lives were on the line, he was going to allow the defendants to define the terms of what went on in the courtroom. And that is a big deal because he was putting his own life in jeopardy as well when he chose to do that.
Gene Fritz was one of the Chicago jurors. At the time of the trial, Gene was 51 years old, voted Republican, and ran an auto supply store with her husband. Jean saved every newspaper article and still has the journal she kept during the trial.
God, I forgot about that notebook she was into.
Kunstler is a very casual dresser, almost like he has no time for clothes. He has let his hair grow since he has been here, wears glasses, and is always bending down to pull up his socks. He sure wears some flashy ties. He has been forgetting to comb his hair lately.
I can't believe I wrote all that.
Me neither.
Well, of course, it was just almost the beginning of long hair, and I wasn't used to people like that yet. You know, I came from Des Plaines, a smaller town, and I wasn't into stuff like that. So at first, I was a little taken back.
To understand what happened today, you have to set your Yippie decoding ring to D72 and pay very strict attention. The odds have now shifted from 7-5 in favor of the Kangaroos because if you remember today's testimony by the Chicago Police Department, they have conclusively proved...
The trial was theater. Defendants wore judges' robes and police uniforms. Poets and musicians were called to testify. Dad's clients wanted to bring the 60s into the courtroom and to challenge the government's repression of their right to speak their minds. But the major conflict of the trial was between the judge and defendant Bobby Seale.
Sit down, man. I said, no. The Sixth Amendment says I got a right to have my legal counsel. I said, and you can't sit up here and deny me the right to defend myself. Sit down, Mr. Seale. I said, you're going to deny? I said, you're a racist, a fascist, and a bigot.
Seale suggested that the judge was a racist. Anyone who would stand up before a U.S. District Court and accuse the judge of racism is utterly absurd, he said. What about my constitutional rights, judge? Mr. Marshall advised the defendant that he cannot speak.
This drawing depicts one of the most dramatic and bizarre developments of the Chicago trial. Bobby Seale, a Black Panther leader, was bound and gagged when he refused to obey the judge's orders.
It was absolutely sickening. You could, you just felt that the world was coming to an end, that you were actually seeing this in the United States of America. Somebody tied up like he was. That's when I learned not to like my government and not trust them. And that's hard to say, but that's how I felt.
Stop this medieval torture that's going on in this courtroom. This man wants to defend himself.
Father,
this is an unholy disgrace to the law that's going on in this courtroom.
When you begin to keep your word around here that you gave the court, perhaps things can be done.
I just feel so utterly ashamed, Your Honor, to be an American lawyer at this moment.
You should be ashamed.
I know I should be, and
you should be ashamed of your conduct in this case.
Dad was always emotional when he spoke about what was done to Bobby Seale in that Chicago courtroom. Years later, he was still ashamed that he stood there while a black man sat in chains.
Stop the trial! 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 Stop the trial!
The Deputy Chairman of the Illinois Black Panther Party, Brett Hampton!
All power to the people. And I just want to tell you that the chairman of the Black Panther Party is going to be ungagged, and they're going to have to take those chains off him. But they're only going to have to do that if there's enough organization.
4 weeks later, Black Panther leader Fred Hampton was shot to death in his bed by the Chicago police. And Dad realized that the government would stop at nothing to destroy people it viewed as its enemy.
That was completely a setup by the FBI. And I found out later an agent had confessed to me, who was supervisor of that squad in Chicago, said that the FBI had set up the police for the raid, hoping that the police would kill maybe a couple of dozen Panthers.
I killed them. I killed them. And when I say I mean all the white people of the United States killed Fred Hampton, just as we've killed every black man, because we've stood by, racist all of us, and watched the society continue a slavery that was supposed to have died 100 years ago. In particular, he was killed by the system that is resisting every voice of dissent and every wind of change.
When Sarah and I look back at our father's life, this is the moment we are most proud of. The moment the gloves came off. Dad was radicalized.
Power to the people!
Power to the people!
He couldn't go back into that courtroom and act as if the system was just. He couldn't pretend anymore.
Get him up! Get him all up!
Sing. In a land that's known as freedom, how can such a thing be fair? Won't you please come to Chicago for the help that we can bring? We can change the world. We arrange the world. It's time.
Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, or just Crosby, Stills, and Nash. That is not in the documentary, but I asked Reggie to play that
one
afterwards.
Apropos.
It was apropos. I asked you to play it because I get choked up when I watch that. Dennis, what was going through your mind? I mean, do you get a little choked up listening to Bill there?
Oh, yeah. And that moment in the streets of Chicago, I was first year of high school, something like that. And when I saw those cops come at those protesters, everything in my world changed. Of course, following it through the trial and then the gagging of Bobby Seale, I think that was transformational for millions of young people who were given a different view. You know, it comes along with the gunning down at Jackson State and Kent State, we were getting a whole different view. And then there was Bill Kunstler willing to step out there and take on some of the hardest issues. And those people who were demonized by the culture, which then first demonizes, as you know, arrests and kills if needs be, William Kunstler is out there for the people telling the story. Who could forget his visit to Attica, his defense of the Attica brothers?
We're going to play that, Dennis, soon. There's a segment.
Let me just say one other thing. The most powerful radio at the top of the top, and I've been doing radio daily for close to 40 years, one of the most powerful, the top two, three, is I asked William Kunstler about what it was like to observe, because he did in his fight against the death penalty, somebody being gassed to death. And he tried to reconstruct it, and his interpretation of that death process was overwhelming. I don't know if you ever heard, if he did that a lot, or that was just him in the moment. Every issue, every life and death frontline issue, he was there. And this film is such an incredibly beautiful.
Oh man, it really is breathtaking. It is a masterpiece, and I don't like to use cliches, but you know, I've seen it 6, 7, 8 times probably in the last couple of years, and it's just it really gets to me, you know, especially that, and then Attica gets to you, and you start crying and everything. That is Disturbing the Universe by Sarah and Emily Kunstler. And it's part of our package today, Dennis, along with the Kunstler at Caroline's and John Pilger's epic film, Coming War on China, The Coming War on China. And for that,
number?
Yes, as soon as for a $100 donation to the station, you will get all three of those films. And, you know, get them right now before you can't buy them somewhere, before YouTube is totally censored. Only reports by Ari Melber will be allowed on YouTube. I'd rather watch The Dating Game than watch MSNBC. There's more content, in the other shows. The Dating Game and The Newlywed Game have more political content than the MSNBC array of shows. And NPR, by the way, NPR, it's corporate controlled. That is not public radio. That is corporate controlled, and a bunch of big corporations give them money. This is the only publicly funded radio station.
You cannot be underwritten by petroleum companies and be public radio. No. Randy, I want to tell this one.
Give him the number first, Dennis.
Story.
Give him the number.
Okay,
then.
I will. 212-209-2950. Stand up for free speech radio. Make love to the First Amendment. 212-209-2950. Randy, I remembered when I met William Kunstler. I was a sophomore or a junior when the kids were killed at Kent State and at Jackson State and other places. William Kunstler came out to Hofstra University, where I was a sophomore, and we had a rally. It was a rally for against the shootings at Kent State and Jackson State. Bill Kunstler was on his way to defend the folks and represent the families at Jackson State. He stopped at a rally. There were about 1,000 people there. I was up on the stage with the president of the Student Senate. His name, there he was in his ripped jeans and his hair down to his waist. His name was Norman Coleman. Later, he would become a senator.
Oh,
a right-wing senator from the Midwest. But at that time, with his ripped jeans and his long hair, he and I and 1,000 young people were transformed when William Kunstler put up his fist. And I've got the picture of me and Norman Coleman and William Kunstler putting up their fist. The number is 212-209-2950.
Yes.
212-209-2950. Get that Kunstler package. Get the Kunstler film. Again, it was lovingly produced by his daughters. Are they both lawyers?
No. Emily is a filmmaker, and Sarah is a filmmaker and a attorney. And Emily's doing a death penalty project right now. I mean, they do all of these. You know, doing documentaries, there's really not much money in it. You got to spend your time fundraising. You know, they get it done. They got one right now called Who We Are. It's an award-winning documentary. It played in New York, played in tons of places across the country. And you can get that. You can see that on Netflix. Who We Are is their latest, and you got to see that. It's all about a chronicle of racism in America, and that is on Netflix right now. You see it like top choices, people's favorites. So it's like listed everywhere. New documentaries. You can't miss it. Who We Are on Netflix. But that's not offered today, all right? We don't have that to offer. We have Disturbing the Universe. We have Coming War on China. And we have Counselor at Caroline's. Maybe we'll play the Counselor at Caroline's. Do we?
And that's all for $100 contribution?
That's just $100 contribution. It should be $250. I know it's $250, but, you know, I got a goal of $3,000, and we're getting close. I'm only $2,950 short of that. So let's get it to at least $1,000 before the top of the hour.
Is that $50?
Yeah. I'm kidding. I don't know. I don't see the figures right now. I'm just trying to be a comic right now. I just want people to support this station, whether you get those documentaries or not, or get the Assange reader, the two wonderful books, one by Niels Melzer, the other one edited by Tariq Ali and Margaret Kunstler, called In Defense of Assange. Assange is in critical shape right now. I'm putting everything I got into this, folks, everything I got into it, because if what good is money going to do me if Assange goes to jail, and then that's the end of the fragile faux democracy that we have here and free speech. So this is a firewall right now. It's a firewall for Assange, and it's a firewall right now for the station that we're trying to build. All right? Please support this station, 212-209-2950. Those who want to do events in New York City, those who want to have rallies. If it weren't for WBAI, we couldn't have gotten the Rockefeller drug laws change, because everything that we did, people were informed here. People were informed in prisons to register with the Kunstler Fund, and we started organizing. It was through this station and Tulia. Without this station, we wouldn't have gotten the job done in Tulia, where we spent 3.5 years. Sarah Kunstler and I went down there, and she and her sister made their first documentary called Tulia Scenes from the Drug War, and that was an award-winning documentary. That was back in 2002, and it was brilliant, and it was because of this station that we were able to do that, folks. We did it. We did it. We raised money for the lawyers. We raised money for the families who were affected down there. We put together the defense fund. We put together the mothers of the Tulia disappeared. All that through this station. So that's why it's so important to me. There's change in the drug laws in the state of New York only because of this station. So please, for the next generation, we're not going to pass this on? Are we going to be the ones that said, all right, we're not going to pass it on to the next generation after the last three generations kept it alive for us, Dennis? Is that what we're going to do, is not keep it alive for the next generation?
You know, we are – that's exactly what we are. We are the stewards of this network, of this radio station. And we – it is our response. It is on us and everybody listening to us who appreciates the nature of free speech media. It's on us to preserve, expand, strengthen it at the base, and make sure that it can continue. And believe me, that is not at this moment a sure thing. So I'm asking people to take an action that you don't have to take, and probably nobody will see you take it, but you act, you support free speech radio, because your mind and your heart and every cell in your body says alternative media is crucial in this age of expanding white supremacy, white violence. We're going to need every institution, every alternative institution we can sustain to fight back against. We're not done with, you know, Trump is nothing. He just opened up the door. Yeah. We're now facing a whole bunch of stuff. We're going to need these beautiful free speech radio stations to fight back.
Yeah, it's both sides. We got caught in the middle here between the warmongering Democrats and the racist Republicans, and so you know, what are you supposed to do? I mean, you know, they can't keep saying we're going to get Trump. Okay, then I'll vote for you. I'm not voting for Biden. The fact that he's prosecuting Assange and the fact that he's got what's happened to Tony Blinken. We didn't vote for him to get Tony Blinken as a Secretary of State.
Can I say something, Randy? Randy, can I say something? They're not. I want to change our terminology about Julian Assange. They're not prosecuting him anymore. They are persecuting.
Right.
They're not. It's beyond. They're killing him now.
They're torturing and killing him. Yes.
They're killing him. They're torturing him and killing him. It's beyond the courtroom. It's like in the prison. How is he going to be able to survive or not?
Yeah.
Are they going to get him in the U.S.? And they talk all this stuff about Russian prisons, Randy.
Right. And someone that got 9 years in jail.
The corporate media. They don't know about Rikers Island. They don't know about the U.S. Gulag. They don't know about our prison system.
Rahway, Greenhaven, Attica, Sing Sing, Malone.
When you hear the corporate media, all you hear is how bad here's America. We got prisons. People love our prisons so much. We got more people in our prisons.
25% of the world's population. 25% of the prison population is right here, and there are people doing more time than this gymnast was sentenced to. More time for less amount of weed. You look, there are people doing 10, 15 years. There are people doing 20. I know people doing 25 years for a nickel bag of cocaine. Nickel bag, I can tell you, because I chronicled all of them. That's what I did for 15 years. People got much, and there were foreigners who were framed that would get just as much time. This guy in Iran, he finally let him go. He was doing 25 years. He was totally innocent. This woman, and there's so many. I can't tell
you
it's countless.
Has Ari Melber mentioned this yet?
No, he doesn't mention it. They're not interested in it.
He's a lawyer. He's so smart.
I wouldn't have him defend me on. I would have him for a jaywalking charge. Okay, we are talking with Dennis Bernstein, the host of the wonderful 5 days a week Flashpoints. It's on at 8 o'clock in New York City. It's 5 o'clock live in Berkeley, and it's Flashpoints. Dennis Bernstein. It's cutting edge. He's been doing. I don't know how he does it, but he's. I know he's got a show later on. He's agreed to be part of this show because he knows how important it is that you call 212-209-2950. Listen to him. Don't just sit back and listen and say, I enjoyed the show today and send me a text message. I don't want to hear that. If you enjoy the show, support it. If you're making $500 a week, then just donate $50. Just if you're making $20,000 a month, donate $5,000 one time. That's it. Or become a buddy. You can become a buddy of this station, and you can spread it out over 12 months. And that is by calling this number again, 212-209-2950. It's called the Kuntzler Pilger Special. The Kuntzler Pilger Special. All three documentaries are one comedy show and two documentaries. A C-note. That's it. 20 gallons of gas. That's all it is, folks. Or in California, 15 gallons of gas. You get that. So don't just sit there. Support the station, because we can't just, you know, say here. I mean, we can't give a donation to you. You got to give a donation to us, because we're already giving you a donation of 24 hours of progressive, cutting edge programming here at WBAI. So, Dennis, we're going to play another clip since I don't know if we're going to play the whole thing, but let's play part of it. This is from the Disturbing the Universe documentary by Sarah and Emily Kuntzler. This is the part about Attica. We'll be right back afterwards.
As I look through these photos, if someone didn't know this was Attica, I wonder if they'd think it was this country. It's kind of like the war. How many lives did this change forever? In ways that future generations will never even realize.
You want to say a word or two to your wife and family?
Just that I wish I could be home with them, and that I know everyone else here feels the same, and that I'd like to say that the officers here want the same thing the inmates want.
The national mood of political unrest and protest filtered into the United States prison system. And on September 9th, 1971, prisoners at Attica Correctional Facility seized control of the prison. The prisoners took hostages and demanded better living conditions.
The conditions at Attica were awful. There were no education programs. There were no people of color as guards. The medical care was horrendous. There were all sorts of grievances, and there was a group of people who wrote these grievances down and attempted to get to the state to look at them, and the state refused to look at them, and the entire prison was taken over, and 1,289 inmates took over D Yard, which is one of the four exercise yards at Attica. They called for negotiators, and negotiators were allowed to come in, and your father was immediately called. Your father was in the middle of every bit of this, and it was both a bad moment for him and a great moment for him.
As he walked into D Yard, my father was painfully conscious of his white middle-class prejudice. He told me he worried that he and the other observers might be murdered by the prisoners.
He went in as a negotiator, just like everybody else, but being Bill, and being more courageous than most people, and also being an actor, you know, a person who wanted to act, not contemplate. In short order, he was the person in charge. He was going to be the lawyer for the inmates.
Dad came to see that the prisoners were taking a courageous and organized stand for their rights. And he wanted to stand beside them.
All of you that say you're politically oriented...
They have a list of what they call practical demands. Just about every one of them have to do with the improvement of prison conditions. This is not a riot of prisoners who are seeking to escape. It is a riot of prisoners who are eminently practical and who are spelling out conditions which they feel should be improved.
We want to apply the New York State minimum wage law to all state institutions. We want to stop to slave labor here. We want to allow all New York State prisoners to be politically active without intimidation or reprisal. We want true religious sanctity. We want to do our own thing in this place. Number four, in all censorship of newspapers, magazines, letters, and other publications coming from the publisher.
Bill Kunstler and I were talking to them, and Bill was more optimistic than I was. He felt that they were not going to come in shooting. But I told him, listen, my experience is when people have guns and tanks and tear gas, they're going to use it.
He made a big mistake. He didn't go to them and say, listen, there are 500, 600 law enforcement out there. They're all being lied to. They all have this unbelievable amount of weapons. And if you don't agree, they're going to blow you away. No one told them that.
I think Dad was caught up in the idealism of the moment. He wasn't realistic about what the prisoners' options really were.
Got to negotiate for an amnesty. And if that real amnesty is obtained, it's on two levels. That there will be no administrative reprisals. And to that, the commissioner has agreed. But there must also, if this is your thought, be no